Are you guys ready for Ghost Stories with Angela? I'm your host, Angela. Hi, everyone. Ooh, this music spooking you out. That's the point. It's supposed to be spooky. Welcome to another episode of Ghost Stories with Angela. Today's drink is a regular basic cocktail. Nothing special, just some simple syrup, lime, tequila, and ice. Cheers! Yum. That's good. Using lime from my own lime tree in the garden up there. Okay, I'm very excited for you guys to be here and hear some stories from my special guest this week. My three things: if I pick you to go live, cut the fat of your story, just give me the good details, not the regular thing. We don't even know about the regular stuff. Give us the good detail stuff. If you're here watching, leave me some comments. Tell me what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Do you have any questions that you want to ask? Whoever is telling the story, ask the questions so we can answer the questions. I think this light is too bright. Hold on. Time change. So now it gets dark like halfway through the episode. So I have to use my ring light and I'm still trying to figure out best lighting. This is Ghetto Production Presents, y'all. I got me. I got my associate producer over here, hey. Jesse Latorre in the house. Woo-hoo. Got my associate producer in Nashville, Jaki. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Okay, so that was leave comments, tell me questions, cut the fat of your story, and don't request to go live with me if you don't have a story to tell, because I will hang up on you. Okay, are you guys ready? My special guest today, I was just on his podcast. We'll talk about that a little bit. And he had so much knowledge in this paranormal space. I was so excited. I had so many more questions I wanted to ask and hear more of his stories. But he was interviewing me, so I couldn't make it all about him. So I was like, ooh, you got to come on Ghost Stories and tell us some good ones. So this guy who's about to come on, he's hilarious, a comedian, and paranormal investigator. Please welcome Momo Rodriguez. Where's your dog? Oh, he's inside. He's being like so needy today. Hello!
What is up? This is so cool that you have all this cool music and all this, like, it really freaks you out a little bit, right?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's like, I just play it from Spotify. I don't have rights to it and I just play it on my phone. But listen, it's like professional.
No, it's so cool. And you know what? Before we even get started, can I just say, when we talked last in the podcast, you said your story, which I'm sure people heard about, Cleveland.
Yes.
And while you were saying that, somebody calls us from Cleveland. So after we finished talking with you, Hefty and I were like, well, who is this person that called us from Cleveland? We should find out who it is. Yeah. And we called, and the guy... some guy answers and he goes, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, you called us? He's like, that's impossible. I was asleep this whole time. I don't know who you are.
No.
And Hefty looked at me like, maybe we should just hang up the phone and just leave the guy asleep. But it's similar to your story, right, about the phone.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So to update everybody who's watching right now, I was just on your podcast, yours and Don Hefty's podcast. What is it called?
The Paragordo Activity Podcast, because we're a Paragordos. And
gets me every single time. Yeah. So we just recorded that, and I was in the middle of telling my story about when we were in Cleveland. It was super duper haunted, and I was telling him the whole story. As I'm telling it, he gets a phone call from a number he doesn't know from Cleveland. Mm-mm. Are you kidding me? And then the whole thing you just heard, what he said about, like, he called and the guy was asleep. That's insanity.
So that made a connection between you and what we were talking about. A lot of times when you do this kind of stuff, you kind of leave a trail. And when you experience it, you still leave that trail. Like, it's like a residual haunting that still stays with you. And you can take it with you. So
I don't want to.
Well, just think about it. Imagine you're like, alone in this world that you have by yourself, and somebody gives you attention.
Okay.
Wouldn't you want to follow them? That's why, if you, Well, I mean, that's why if you have a haunted house or you have activity, don't pay attention to it because then you're just feeding the fire. Like, you know, every movie it says, hey, you know, the walls are talking. Well, get out of the house. Like, don't live there. Go.
If your walls God.
Fine, you know what I mean? So some people just stay and try, like, well, maybe we, let's try to connect to it. Do not connect to it. I mean, it's if you don't understand it, don't mess with it. And some people, right. like, they go to, we have you on our podcast freak out, say, we don't know what's going on. This happened to me. What did you do? Well, I lit a candle in the dark and I summoned him.
It's like, you did
a,
it.
Like, who goes to a cholo and say, where are you from?
Right.
You don't quiz him. He quizzes you. You know, you stay away. You just don't do that, you know?
You don't even accidentally quiz him. Don't ask him no questions because he'll probably take it the wrong way. Hey, where'd you get that? Mind your business. What's up? You know what I mean? I get it. Exactly. Don't do it. And that's the same ghosts are.
That's all ghosts. Ghosts have their territorial. That's a cholo territorial. They associate with colors because colors can bring something with them. And they run, they're really, really, like, stubborn. They're haunting for, now, there's several different things. There's a ghost, and there's a spirit.
Uh-huh.
A ghost is somebody who is still here. He's an earthbound. When you see him, he's usually in the same state of when he passed. They're always on our level, and you see him kind of living the same day over and over and over. Spirit is somebody who's already crossed over and is coming to visit us. And people usually see spirits floating or in their dreams. But when it comes to, like, a ghost, that's somebody who doesn't even know they're dead. Or sometimes they do, and they're just afraid to, like, go to the next level. You know what I mean? Like, they're afraid to, like, cross. You know? And it could be, I mean, for me, it's spiritual. I mean, I'm a man of God. So I think some people, even here, they're afraid to be judged. Huh. Like, they're still hanging around. It's like they're hanging around they're hanging around, like, National City, but they're not ready to go to TJ yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, still having crossed that, you know, they're still like, I don't know, man. How good are these tacos, man?
So like, somebody just asked, so then what's a demon?
Demon is another level. It's pre all of us. You know? But a lot of people get, you know, a lot of people get mistaken by demons because they're like, oh, I think something's demonic in my house. What does he do? Well, he throws stuff at me. I mean, if it was a demon, I think it would affect you more emotionally, and it'll make you be a certain way. Mm. I think demons will make you be more of a jerk. They'll cause problems within your family. They'll cause problems within your household. But it can also just be a jerk. I mean, think about it. How many a-holes is there in the world? Now imagine someone who's a jerk dying. He's still going to be a jerk in the afterlife, especially as a ghost.
Wow.
You know, he could just be a bad person on the other side.
Yeah.
But a demon is something, you know, it's, I mean, that's biblical, man. That's something like, it'll be more about your energy. You'll be more drained. You'll act a certain way with people. Or let's say the house itself can be demonized. And if you fit a criteria, you can, like, be a conduit to that criteria. Like, let's say you live in a house that somebody who lived there was married and they got into a very, very horrible divorce. If you move into their house and you fit the same criteria as that couple, you can probably have a divorce too, just like they did, because they left that negative energy. I mean, for people out there, like, when people say, I want to tell you my problems, man, if anybody ever comes over to your house and says, I want to talk to you about my problems, say, cool, but can we talk about them somewhere else, not inside my house? Because they're just unloading on you.
Oh.
And they leave that, like, that negativity on you. I mean, like, we're comics. We've been in those green rooms.
Uh-huh.
And that's when a lot of people hate in those green rooms. They're jealousy, you know, a lot of betrayal, a lot of
loneliness.
Like, loneliness. You and anybody who's ever been to a comic club, going to the green room, you feel drained. I mean,
And that's what I was saying on y'all's podcast. Is early on, I would always be so tired in the green room, and I just thought that it was part of me being nervous, and maybe it was. Maybe there's a little bit of both. Truth to both of these things. It could be that I was just nervous, so that I drain my energy because I'm nervous to go on stage and whatever it is. But then also, it could just be the energy of the room sucking energy for me, because I was always, I would take a nap in between shows. Yeah. I would lay down. I would always have a pillow and a blanket because I would get cold. And I was like, oh, my nervous tics are that I get cold and tired. And I would say that to people. And maybe it's more spiritual.
Well, because, you know, energy is heat. So when you're being drained, you're being left with coldness. When you go to a haunting or a haunted house, the first sign that there's a ghost in there is if you're walking through a cold spot. Cold spot is a part of the room that's like a little ball of just like a freezer. When you walk through, you feel so cold. Mostly it's because there's an entity about to appear itself to you. So it'll suck up all the energy in there. Ooh. And I mean, if you're in the green room with negativity, you're being drained. Look, you and I, we're badasses. Let's get this out of the way. We're badasses on stage. We've done every single venue. We're not afraid of the crowd.
Right.
We love the crowd. We love everybody there. We're never nervous on the drive there.
Right.
But when we get in there, we might inherit the feeling of other comics that were nervous.
Yes. Oh my God.
And become that. I mean, a lot of people, and this is not only for comedians, people who are in businesses. Maybe the conference room that you work at is a freak out, the break room that you work at. At work, try to go cleanse yourself. I mean, either prayer always helps. Prayer has never failed anybody. And if you don't, you know, if you're not with prayer, you're not sure how to pray, asking if you don't want to go that route, there's sage. This is not weed. This is sage. I mean, people have made the mistake and light this up. This is white sage. Cleanses you, cleansings around you. This also kills 99% of bacteria in the air, by the way.
Oh, that's so dope.
Yeah, it's cool. You can buy it, order it online. And just after you're burning it, throw it away and bury it outside your house. Do not save it. People save it when they burn sage.
Wait, okay. So you're supposed to burn it all the way through the one time?
Yeah, you can cut it, not burn the whole thing, but cut enough that you're going to use. Burn it the whole way through. Go to every corner in your house. And then open all the windows, say some prayers as you're doing, get everything, cast everything out of your house, all negativity, sage yourself, use a feather of any kind of bird, I'll say any kind of animal, because not all animals have feathers, but any kind of bird, and just kind of do this, like go around waving it around the house. Some people use a shell, an abalone shell, so you won't burn your hand. When it's done, even if it's not burned completely, and you know what, you're done, throw it away outside, bury it in the ground. Give it back to the earth.
Wow.
If people just burn it and leave it at their house or hang it and make it all look like I saved my house. Yeah. Nah. Get it out of the house. Like it's.
Bro, see, okay, because I have a sage, multiple sages in my house that I didn't burn through the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, I'll save it for next time. And then I leave it right here next to my Bruja crystals and whatever.
Yeah, I did that too one time. I used to nail them on top of the over my door, thinking that's going to protect my house.
Wow.
Told me, and I think someone that was Native American told me, no, you got to give it back to the earth.
Wow. No. I have a Native prayer fan, actually, that has feathers, and it's a prayer fan.
Yeah.
You got to use that back out. I put it away. I put it up on my shelf because I am also a woman of God. And I remember, people would tell me the prayer fan was bad. And all of my Native stuff, my room used to be decorated in all Native American everything. I had my prayer fans up. I had my dream catchers. I had just Native artwork everywhere. And I remember people would tell me, like, ooh, be careful with that stuff. Be careful. I was like, oh, I better not. But I don't think it's that.
No, you've got to know. I mean, look, I do believe certain things that you have in your house can be conduits to something. That's why I always tell people, be careful when you go antiquing.
Uh-huh.
You know, be careful, because a couch that you don't know where it's from, something can be attached to that couch. A lamp that might be an heirloom to somebody, you bring it with you at your house. You know?
Shoot. I went to an estate sale one time.
Oh,
I like estate sales because, like, I went to this one. It was like in Beverly Hills or like it was like super fancy, right? But you go in and the house is so old. Like the woman was like the first person to ever buy this house. They still had the phone connected to the wall type thing, the old, like that phone. It never been remodeled, never nothing. Like, the wallpaper, everything old, old, old. And it was so cool. It's like you walked into, like, a time warp, you know, place. Yeah. And it was a little bit creepy. But I remember that I got some of their tablecloths. I got a cool lamp that was, like, super old. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. I don't have the lamp anymore. I gave it to my brother. I should call him, make sure he don't feel nothing weird with his lamp. But that is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I went to this place in Connecticut back when I was, you know, back when it was, the world was normal. We used to tour. I think we went to this club over there. I think it was like a Funny Bone over there in Connecticut, in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove around for a little bit, and I went to the House of the Occult, the Museum of the Occult, which is the house of Lorraine Warren from the, you know, The Conjuring, all those movies.
No way.
I heard her speak a few times. I went to a few of her conferences to hear her speak before the movies came out. Like, that's how into it I was. And I got to go to her house where they have the Annabelle doll. And I walked
in. You went to the house?
I went to the house. It used to be a museum. People can go in there. So I saw the Annabelle doll, but it, you know, it wasn't like it is in the movies. The real doll's a Raggedy Ann doll. So she's a regular Raggedy Ann doll. Looks cute. And it, she's in a case. And it says, do not reflect negativity to. I mean, I'm getting chills thinking about it, but I remember going in there, and I think a week later they closed it down because there was weird stuff happening. People, like, I think some guy taunted her, and he had a motorcycle accident, like, right after the whole thing. So there's that place is crazy, and I remember asking the people there who ran it, like, so what is this place? Is it really, like, do these things really mean something? He's like, well, the relics, I mean, they meant something to somebody. Mm. And match the energy spent on that person. I mean, we all have something that means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes feel that even our soul's attached to it. So we give it so much energy. I mean, it's even that whole thing about rice. When you were to take cooked rice into a jar and then put cooked rice into another jar. And then on one jar, you hold it and you say all negative things to it.
Mm-hmm. And then
in the other jar, you say nothing but positive things. And within a week or 2 weeks, you notice the negative jar will have the rice start to rot. I mean, Google that. Google. It's real.
I've heard of doing that with, what was it? Like a plant or something? Like, you speak negatively to a plant and then positive to a plant. And you, that is crazy.
Yeah.
It's real.
I mean, you know, so this is a time of year where people play around with this stuff. Listen, all I can say, and I've been a paranormal investigator for like 10 years, been a comic for 15. Do not play with the Ouija board. This month, for the next month and a half, is when the veil between our world and the other world is thin. So that's why most religions, most cultures always have like Halloween-ish type celebrations during this time. You think about it. Pagan rituals, Celtic rituals happen to go at the same time with Dia de los Muertos. Like, why is it all in the same bracket?
Oh, you're right.
It's like, why are we honoring the dead during this time of the month? So it's because that's when people... And why do we worry the skeletons? Because... In Mexico, I guess back then, if you were to, you dress like a dead person or like a skeleton to scare them back to their graves, you know, that, because that's when the dead would come to visit.
Wow. So, I mean,
think about it. All Hallows Eve.
Bro, you are just reminding me of another dream that I had the other day. So I don't remember all of the dream. You know how sometimes, like, all you remember is like this 4 seconds of the dream? You're like, I know I was sleeping for 8 hours. I know this dream was way longer than 4 seconds. Yeah. My grandma was in my dream, and she passed away. Yeah. And we were just talking on your podcast, too, about her. I think, like, I hadn't seen her, or I forget what it was. But in my dream, I was, like, on this kite thing, and I was, like, flying, and it was, like, going loop-de-loos, and I was flying at the park by my house where I grew up in San Jose. Yeah. And I was flying loop-de-loop-de-loo. And my grandma was right there watching, and she wanted to try. So I came down from the kite to give her the kite. so that she could fly, but then it wasn't working for her. She couldn't fly, and that's it. That's all I remember. But the reason why I bring it up is because you're talking about this time frame is when they come back to visit us. I'm like, that's so interesting. I haven't had a dream of my grandma in a very long time. And this was probably like 2 days ago that she was in my dream trying to fly on a cat.
It's really symbolic. It's almost like you're doing things that she could have never done. Ooh. You know, in a way.
Oh, you're saying so much right now.
That's what I feel. That's what I feel. Like right when you said that came to my head right away. That you did things that she couldn't do even now, and that's kind of her way of saying I'm proud of you. You're flying, and I couldn't fly like you. I got chills. I mean, it's a trip. This happens sometimes, but that's what they can mean. I mean, and this is a time where they visit you. This is the scientific side of it. We only dream for 2 seconds in our mind. So when it lasts longer than that, you're having a visitation, and these visitations, they never talk. They barely talk, and they only smile. And the reason they don't talk or really say much is because they're not supposed to. You're supposed to live your life here. And my great friend, AJ Barrera, amazing medium, he's taught me this. You can't go to get a reading. You're going to receive it. We're all psychic. We're all intuitives. But we just gotta stop listening to ourselves and listen to these messages. So I feel that's what it was, you know, because I mean, if it had no reason for being what it is, there was no perspective. And if you were flying and having a good time, it was kind of her honoring you, like, wow, you look what you're doing, you know. And a lot of people can't do that. They can't do what you do.
That's so special.
It's got crazy.
I remember there's a time where when my grandma was still alive, and this is so long ago, like 2000, 1999, somewhere in there. And I was on the computer, and this is dial-up AOL time. And I remember being on the computer and my grandma standing behind me, watching me, so confused by technology. She didn't understand that. And I remember her watching me going, I could never do that. Yeah. Just being on the computer, just learning technology. And it wasn't like a sad, I could never do that. It was kind of like, wow, you kids, like, what are you even doing on this machine? Like, I could never do that. And I just have that memory as you're saying, like,
well, that what she was
saying in the dream.
Whatever you feel right now, take it for exactly what she was telling you. That's exactly what, and what you're probably facing right now, you might be facing something that you don't know what to do. And that's probably her way to say, look, you're already doing things. Like, don't ask questions. Act. You're doing what you know how to do. Only you can do it. You know more than us. And it's tough, man. It really is tough to see our loved ones. And you know, I had a similar story with an uncle of mine that passed. And I was going through some really rough times. And I remember we would go camping all the time. And we went in the dream. I'm camping in my whole family. I'm like, I asked him, hey, where's my family? Where's everybody at? And I go, by the way, you're dead. I just tell him, like, you're dead, dude. What are you doing here? He's like, well, listen, your family, they all went that way, but you're going to go this way.
Mm. Now,
you're going to want to go that way, but you're meant to go this way.
Wow.
It's going to be a tougher road for you, but you're meant for this road. And I woke, and I'm like, okay, like, and then in the morning I woke up, I'm like, wow, like I really felt like I needed to hear that. So there, you can talk to these people, and trust me, the answers are all there. But it's the same thing as talking to God. You know, that's how God talks to you, the same way. You know, you gotta, you know, you thank God for letting your grandma come through that way.
Yes.
Because I'm sure there's rules where think about it. If the dead can come visit us all the time, imagine how crazy that would be. You know, so I'm pretty sure it's they have to ask some kind of permission to come in and into our dreams. You know,
wow. And
sometimes bad things happen in our dreams. I mean, we talked about sleep paralysis, right? We talked about astral projecting, outer body experiences. I mean, a lot of people. Always
yeah, we've had a few people on Instagram come on and tell stories of outer body experiences.
And there's always the same thing. It's always about a demon. Like, always, some guy always tells me, hey, man, I felt like there was a witch sitting on top of me, or I felt like there was a demon holding me down, or I felt like something was pulling me. I'm like, listen, from the experiences that I've heard of astral projection or out-of-body experience or sleep paralysis, it's always you doing that to yourself. Mm. Like someone told me there's a shadow coming towards me when I'm asleep. It's you coming
it's
back.
It's your shadow.
Yeah.
Like your shadow self.
Exactly. You're coming back. Or I hear a boom, a noise. But some people, when they have sleep paralysis, like my sister, my little sister, I'm going to tell everybody about this. She has it and she sees people around her while she has it. And when she wakes up, no one's there.
Wow.
But our family's been a lot, our family, we're very, you know, we're intuitive. We grew up, the reason I like all this stuff is because my mom was so obsessed with this stuff. Mm-hmm. She had her moments, her visitations of people. She had they lived in a haunted house years ago. So I kind of like got into it myself. But I mean, our podcast is all about all paranormal. I mean, even UFOs, aliens, you know, legends. We like to talk about, because it's all connected to something. Every legend, every story has a genesis. And it's always important to find out where that came from. We fear people who are right now are freaked out about this stuff. You're freaked out because we don't understand it.
Right.
We fear we don't understand. I mean, there's so much I want to know about this still. And I've been through some crazy haunted houses. I've been some crazy I have an EVP for if you want to hear one right now.
Yeah, tell us one of your stories. First of all, thank you for all the information you're giving right now. I'm reading the comments and it's blowing people's minds. Just like when I was doing your podcast, I kept saying, oh my God, you're blowing my mind. I've never heard this said this way before and all that kind of stuff. So
isn't it weird that being Latino, we're not supposed to kind of talk about this? This is the biggest taboo for Latinos.
And Christian, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm reading some of the comments here from some Christians that are like, hey, you shouldn't be even talking about this. And what about the Bible and like all that
stuff. Amazing, beautiful book of story, and it's a great. I love the Bible, my favorite books, but there's so much talks about spirits in the Bible and miracles. I mean, this is a miracle right now. What you experience, you feeling your grandmother in a way, is a miracle. She's not here, she's passed, and right now you felt like she was right next to you. That's you know, pretty miraculous. So, I mean, I see it as something like, for me, when I got into this, I didn't believe in it. My first investigation, I did not. I'm like, come on. This is, like, when you think about it, like, this is kind of dumb. So I met this dude in college, good friend of mine. And he, one day I went to his house. I'm like, dude, what do? That you have a house and we're like 19. And he goes, well, I talk to dead people. And I'm like, cool. Like, I was like, you know, whatever. And then I thought, you know, let me give this guy a shot. We created a pilot because I was in video production called Real Encounters. And we did our first investigation. Now, I didn't believe in this. I had my crew. We're at this park in Whittier. And the park has what we found out was it's a cemetery. But they took all the headstones off so they can sell property around the cemetery. Yeah. So once somebody found this out, they reported it, so they have one plaque in the middle of the park that says 2,000 people are buried there. So we went to investigate. This is a real place. And, I mean, I was more creeped out about the fact that people were buried there than ghosts, and I didn't believe in ghosts.
Right.
So all of a sudden, we're recording, and the medium goes, hey, I'm talking to this guy, some girl. She OD'd here. I'm going to help her cross over. And I'm like, dude. I'm talking to the camera guy. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. This is dumb. Let's go home. And he goes, no, she's crossing over. As he says that, a little white light flashes like this in front of me. Man, we have it on camera. We got everything. And you see me for like 3 hours just like freak out. And then I freaked out so much. And I'm like, I think we got a show here. And then I became an investigator. But it brought me, and this is crazy for people that are talking about, you know, we shouldn't talk about this. I'll be honest, this brought me closer to God.
Wow.
Because, you know, I grew up a certain way where I had different religions. But when you show me the yin, I believe in the yang. You know, if you're showing me that there's some crazy afterworld, afterlife stuff, there has to be something greater that controls all this or is like the hub. So it brought me closer to God, seeing this kind of stuff. And to this day, like I believe in it, and I stopped doing it. Now, let me tell you when I stopped. Alexandria Hotel in downtown LA. You ever been there?
No.
It's off of 5th and Spring. And we were shooting our last episode there. And we got reports of weird things happening. We went. We didn't really see anything, feel anything. We went again because when we went, we heard more disturbances happen. We found an underground prohibition hole that they would use to smuggle alcohol from one hotel to another hotel.
Wow.
Because our psychic said we got to go deep, and we found it. When we finished, we didn't find any cool anything, like really, really, like, you know, on video. So I remember we're on the 7th floor, and as we're packing up our cables, the elevator opens, a little girl walks out. The little girl looks at me right in the eyes, and then walks back into the elevator. And I say to myself, and I told the psychic next to me, I'm like, dude, what kind of parent lets his daughter out at 3 a.m? And he looked at me and goes, you just saw your first apparition. And I'm like, no, that was a real person. And he goes, bro, what do you think? They're like Casper floating, like all like see-through? Like, that's how they look like. You saw a real person.
Wait, you were in the elevator or you were
the little girl was in the elevator. She came in and she came out. And that freaked me out so much. Like, it to this day, I get chills. And I remember for like a whole week, I had trouble sleeping because I would close my eyes and see her. And Ooh. It made me sad because she's trapped. Like, she's not going anywhere. So we did investigating. We researched for, like, hours and microfilm, all that. So this is a few years ago. And we found out that in 1909, the architect's daughter fell through the elevator shaft.
Oh, wow. 9 years old.
Yeah, that was for
That's
me the last...
That's a long time to be living the same day over and over. Yeah,
that was my last ghost shoot because I think I brought something home. Yeah, I think I would have nightmares. I would have weird things happen to us. I stopped doing it, and I promised I wouldn't do it anymore. And recently, my boy hits me up. He's like, hey, we want to do it. Let's do another one. We're actually going to do something on the 20th with Cedric the Entertainer, like a little Zoom with him. And I would love to invite you to cop on it with us and just, like, talk about our stories, but also kind of, like, see if we can do some readings with people. But it really, really, like, scared me, and I don't think I would ever do an investigation again. Because
How? Because
he told me, like, because after that I went home, and a few weeks later, I had a guy at work, his mom, his brother died, and I told him, hey, man, this is going to sound stupid and weird, but you got to take those chains and keep them. And he starts crying. He tells me, I was looking through my brother's stuff and I bought a box of chains and I was wondering if I should keep them.
Wow.
And I called my boy. I'm like, hey, man, I think I'm freaking out, man. I think I got it. Like you gave me the ghost herpes, man. Like, like everything that, and I started having these emotions and these, for people, like when you talked about your grandmother, I got really tuned into you right now. But and I think he tells me you inherited a little bit, and he's like, we all have that gift.
Mm.
But when I was around, I mean, dude, we would do these ghost hunts. We'd keep our batteries in the car because of they would drain if we would take them with us. Like that's how crazy it was. So, if anybody out there, oh, there he is, AJ's right there. He's AJ Barrera.
Hi, AJ.
Yeah, that dude is he's a trip, man. Let me tell you, and he's
we're
a
gonna
Chicano.
Have you on, AJ.
You gotta have him on too. He's a Chicano dude, and I mean, we were like the first Chicano Ghostbusters going to people's houses.
Yes. Bumping
Warren and Malo on the way to the ghost hunts. Like it was like, and we would show up too, like all sweet.
When you park at the hotel, you had to go.
We had to have the layout. We were so gangster to show up, but I have a recording of him. At a park that we did in over here in Southern California, by Pico Rivera on the 605, there's a park there, off of Firestone. In that park, I caught a quinceañera park because that's where everybody goes to take pictures with quinceañera with the ducks and all that. You know, there's always a park that every quinceañera goes to on Saturday to take pictures.
Right.
This is the park. So one time we went middle of the night. And we were recording this low budget, so we had those lavaliers you hook up to somebody with the camera, so you couldn't really be far away. So we're recording AJ, and he goes, we need to leave now. There's two guys arguing behind me. They want us out of here. We take a picture, and there's two shadows of two cholos behind him.
Shut up.
And I'll send you the picture.
For real, and cholo ghost this time.
Cholo ghosts are real. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Cholo ghosts scare me. You know, cholo ghosts and saved cholos scare me the most.
Saved cholos
scare me because they make you feel bad for not, like, being as hardcore as them for God. You know what I mean? Like, a saved cholo is dangerous.
He's
like,
what's his name?
Yeah, exactly. Like, God bless you. Oh, okay, I hope. Yeah, exactly. They're so when we left, we're like, we need to get out of here. And he goes, wait a minute, something's going on here. Let's go to the playground. And he does his EVP. EVP is electric voice phenomenon, where you record the voice and then you play it back, and sometimes you hear spirit voices on it. So we're doing these at the playground. He goes, there's something here. So we recorded. We didn't see anything. But when we got home, we reviewed the tape, and we heard somebody go. He goes, is somebody there? Is there something wrong? Say something. And the person goes, I jumped. So you guys want to hear it? I mean.
Yes.
All right,
okay, wait. Okay, wait. This is at the park.
At the park.
Okay.
Can you give me a sign? Can you push the swing? Do something.
You're it?
Yes!
Yeah. Trip, right? Let's play it one more time. People didn't hear. Here we go.
Can you give me a sign? Can you push the swing? Do something.
Yeah. It. That was the one. I mean, that was the one that we're like, what is this? So that night we went home. I went home, and I remember I AJ sends me the raw file. And back then, that's back when the iTunes was coming out. So whenever you would unload something into your computer, it would automatically go to iTunes.
Yeah.
So I was one of those dudes that had like a sleep playlist at night. For some weird reason, this playlist and was looping. I jump.
Mm-mm.
Horrible.
No.
Horrible. It was crazy. We have a bunch of EVPs and have AJ on the show with you, and he'll show you so many other EVPs. He'll show you video. I'll send you some videos of what we did, but we did some great stuff. But now, everybody out there, respect the dead.
Mm.
Respect. I mean, I'm trained in all this. I know a lot of this. And I still wouldn't mess with it because you will open up something else that you maybe are not supposed to open up.
Right.
There are people, and the enemy will always come at you when you're trying to be, you know, looking for things. You might think it's your uncle maybe in your room and you're trying to reach out to him, but hey, it could be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that you're not ready for. I mean, I to this day do not do it anymore, but we still do a podcast. We talk about it. We, you know, we like to interview people about it.
Right. But
still, I mean, that's Hefty. Hefty has to take a shower when he gets home, because we freak out even on the podcast still. We've had a lot of situations happen while we're doing the podcast. Like, we can't explain them. But after every time we're done, I always say, you know, I surround myself with the white light of God or whatever you want to believe in. And I, you know, everything leave me. I'm not here to taunt. I'm here to investigate. I'm not here to agitate. I'm just here to learn. Like, I'm
here
just,
to learn.
But, you know, don't mess with it. And I've had some stories I could tell you a bunch, but, you know, even telling them freaks me out a little bit, because sometimes you wonder, what are you looking at? What is this? You know, is it even paranormal, or is it even interdimensional? I mean, there's a lot of routes we can go to.
Right.
I'm into ghosts, but I'm also into UFOs. I'm into,
I'm getting attacked by bugs. Hold on, because I have a bright light on in the dark. I'm going to move it.
Crazy how dark it got quick.
So dark. Time change. I'm moving the light further away from me, so, because you know how the bugs go to the light?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're attacking me right now.
So quiet. I don't hear no sirens in your neighborhood. You must be nice.
doing all right. We're doing all right.
It's like five of them already passed by my house right now.
Bro, okay, so somebody asked in the comments when you were talking about the little girl in the elevator since early 1900s, what is it that keeps her from crossing over?
You ever go to a kid and say, come here, come here, and they go to you? Mm-hmm. There's a theory that when somebody dies, either a white light opens up or God comes to get you or family comes to get you, and you're supposed to go through this light. Now, if you don't want to acknowledge the light or don't want to acknowledge your death, you don't go through the light. You mm-hmm. stay behind. It might be what they call unfinished business. It might be her not knowing what to do next, or her not having, maybe her family not having faith to have people guide them through. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's many theories, but I do know that there's more kid ghosts than there is adult ghosts from the stories I hear. We did one house in Montebello, and I think the mom said her son was always going outside at 3 a.m, and they found him like with cars passing by all fast every morning at 3 a.m. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm with my friend. He wants me to come wait for him to have his parents to pick him up. So I think the mom just moved out, couldn't handle it anymore. And then we found out by the neighbor that there was a little boy who lived there, and he was hit by a car waiting for his parents.
Wow.
You know, and then it was one story, an agent I did. We went to someone's house, and we spent the night in her room, and it was freaky because he was see little white lights come out of nowhere, and that freaked us out. Ooh. And AJ was like, what do you think it is? I'm like, he's like, I don't feel anything, man. I don't know what it is, but I think it's something attached to her. So he's like, is there an altar here somewhere? And she goes, what do you mean altar? Like, do you have like an altar? And then she takes us to her room, and she has like an altar in her closet to her little brother who passed a long time ago.
Wow.
And she goes, this is who you're not letting rest. He's worried about it. You're like obsessed with his death. Let it go. Like, let it go, please. Cause you're like obsessed with it. And ever since that, she's been fine. So, you know, the little ones, I mean, they, I don't know. I mean, I wish I knew more about this stuff. And to be honest, the little ones freaked me out, cause I saw a little one. So it looks so, and I felt so bad. I couldn't help her.
You know,
little girl right there looking all confused. And the same thing happened to me with a little girl. Another investigation was at La Curaçao in downtown LA. There's La Curaçao, the towers. And I was working there late. I was working in the marketing department. And I was in the restroom, and I saw a little girl's pink feet, pink shoes, walking back and forth. So I'm like, you know, I do what everybody does when someone's in the bathroom. I'm in here, like, hey, you know, little girl, get out of here. Uh-huh. You know, I was embarrassed. And I'm thinking it's the cleaning lady's kid probably, because nobody was at work. It was after hours. I was doing a project. Like, it's probably cleaning his kid. And I'm like, what? You know, okay, I'm coming out now, because, you know, I come out, nobody's there. So the next morning, I told the cleaning ladies, I'm like, hey, whose kid was that last night? She goes, nobody's kid. Nobody cleaned last night. So, and the lady looks at me down. She goes, ¿Vio la niña? Like, you saw the little girl? I'm like, lady, like, really? She's like, yeah. We have two of them that hang out right here. But, like, nothing. Like, nothing. I mean, that's another thing. People normalize this too much.
Mm.
You know? Like, people tell me, oh, yeah, we have someone that haunts our house. But you're so cool about it. Like, if somebody haunted my house, I'm in the paranormal, get out of here.
Right.
You know? Like, it's like, and for those of you who have hauntings that, let's say you lived in a house for like 20 years, and all of a sudden you have a haunting, if you've done remodeling, it's pretty much when they come out. So most people who remodel houses, they start to hear stuff. Because think about it. Think like the Sixth Sense, how everything's a certain way. Uh-huh. You know? And when you take down a wall, that wall is not there no more. And if they're living the same day over and over, like, what's going on? Where's my wall? So most people that have remodels are the ones that see new things.
And
people who have kids, I mean, dude, sometimes it's not an imaginary kid he's playing with. You know?
Wow. This guy right here, Dan the Man, says, screams, moans, apparitions of a woman, then they found a knife in the basement buried in the wall.
Yeah. Get out of that. Leave. No. When you have that happen to you, just really saint your house and try to find God somewhere. Mm. You know, I mean, look, be afraid of the living, not the dead.
Mm.
You know, I mean, come on, the movie Coco made everybody seem so nice. They're not bad people.
It's Coco. Come on.
You know, another racist movie.
She's fine.
How racist was that movie, though? Think about it. The movie Coco was basically, even in the afterlife, Mexicans have a hard time crossing the border.
I hate you so much.
Basically, that's all it was. That's what Coco was. They didn't have the proper documentation to go back and forth.
Why we always gotta prove ourselves?
I know. It's like we're dead and we still gotta show paperwork. No,
bro,
but
it's scary. Many people commenting in here that they want a UFO story. Do you have a good UFO story to share?
I do have a UFO story.
Let's hear it.
There's a UFO that in my neighborhood growing up. Everybody talks about it. I grew up in the neighborhood of Artesia, Norwalk area, 562 area. One day we're all kids. We see something going on top of someone's house. Now, we all, since we're hood, we're hood kids, we're thinking it's a helicopter. We're thinking the neighbor's being raided again. But this was different. This was the whole area. Like a beam of light going down to the house. Every comadre came out. Everybody's tia was out. Everybody's grandma. We all saw it. And then everybody said nothing and went back inside the house. Only the kids talk about it. For some reason, we're just terrified about talking about the story. UFOs have never been, well, I don't know. No one really believes in them, especially in religion.
Right.
You know, people believe in UFOs. But, I mean.
Because it's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible. But then again, the story of Enoch, you know, the story of Enoch where he went up into some mothership and came back after, you know.
I got to refamiliarize myself with that one.
It's pretty much a guy who was taken up into a mothership. A palace in the sky on a chariot of fire. What's a chariot of fire? It's a rocket. And then he came back down with some knowledge that we didn't, you know.
I mean, oh my God, there's so much we don't understand. There's so much we don't know. Like the audacity we have to think that we have life figured out, God figured out, like religion is you got to do this, this, and this, and that's then you go to heaven. And then to the audacity we have to think that we have it all figured out.
Because we're bored. It's because we're bored. You know, we have to explain why, you know, and that when we have to be selfish that only we exist. Like only we are allowed to roam around the universe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I believe too much in UFOs. We've seen some lights in the neighborhood. I mean, only and they come to the neighborhoods that, you know, report it. You know, the saturated neighborhoods. I mean, there's more reports of UFOs in the hood than there is in the suburbs because how many houses in a suburb and how many houses in the hood? You know what I mean?
Really? I would think it's the other way. Like, it's always... Okay, I have a UFO story.
Okay.
Do you not have a UFO story?
No, I'm about to hear it for the first time, I think. Yeah.
I got a UFO story. So here's, first of all, I just finished watching Unsolved Mysteries, the newest season on Netflix. Have you seen it?
I saw that episode you're about to talk about.
Okay. So I was watching they only did like one UFO story. Everything else was murder mysteries, which I'm all game for because I like murder mysteries. But I was like, okay, give me some UFOs too. Anyways, I have one UFO story. And as I'm watching it, I'm remembering that I also saw a UFO when I was with my friend driving. I was teenager, like 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there, maybe 20, maybe. I'm not quite sure. Anyways, I rarely ever talk to this guy. So I text him to check. Like, this is just like a month ago. I'm like, am I crazy? So I text him. I was like, do you remember when we saw a UFO? And I stated it like that, right? I'm like, do you remember when we saw a UFO? And he was like, yeah, that was crazy. And I was like, that's all I needed was confirmation that I'm not a crazy person. And this is what, I'm 1920, now I'm 30 years old. So it was a long time ago. So we're driving from the Bay Area to LA. We're on the 5 highway. It's maybe like dusk, like the sun is setting. It's not super dark, but it's definitely getting darker. And we're going down the 5. And you know, it's all fields on the 5. You're driving through Salinas, Fresno, like all the towns, right? All fields. We're driving south on the 5. And to the left, you see just field. And there's this light thing that's hovering. And it keeps swooping down low and coming back up. But I'm doing it just in camera frame. It was really probably like doing that maybe a mile. It was like, this was like a mile, right? And it was here and it would like swoop and come back up and swoop and come back up. And it just kept doing that over and over.
Like an orb?
And we were like, huh?
Like an orb, like a little ball?
Kind of like an orb. It was a light and it would swoop and come back up. And there was nothing happening. I know that there's planes that drop like fertilizer and whatever over the fields. It was not that. It was after hours. Everybody done clocked out. Everybody done went home. It was nothing like that. It was full on a UFO. And we were like, what do we do? This is before like smartphones or anything like that. So we're like, who do we call? Do we call like the news station? Like, we didn't even know who to call. We were just like, we see this, but what do we do? And we just kept driving and that's it. We drove to LA and we're like, we saw a UFO. Like, we didn't know what to do. Crazy.
It's, you know, those are the best ones because it's like you have to tell somebody, remember when we saw it? Like, because you want to make sure that you know it's real. Because they want to make sure that they know it's real. We saw one. I was on the road with Carlos Mencia. We're on our way to Marco Island, Florida, that off the hook comedy.
Oh, my God. I got drama stories about Marco Island shows. Continue.
That place, we're on our way, and we drive. We went to Miami because we're at the Miami. We're at the Hard Rock. So we're like, let's just drive to Marco Island. So you got to go through all the Everglades. Like straight driving. And remember that night I was driving our little minivan where we had all our gear. And if anybody ever driven through the Everglades, it's pretty freaky. And cause you, all these alligator signs, it's just very, very dark. There's no lights. I see this big ball of light come from out of the Everglades. So I wake up the road manager. And I'm like, bro, what is this? He's like, it's a helicopter. I'm like, it's not a helicopter. Look at it. And he goes, what is that? And it was just going up. And then it just, it kind of went over us and it illuminated the car. And then it just went like this and went away.
Right? It illuminated the car?
Illuminated the car and it did like a little zoom. And he goes, oh, it's probably like, we were just trying to rationalize everything. Like, dude, we're tired, man. We're tired. It's probably like, I don't know, man. Like, he was just like, he was just trying to not freak out. We got home. We got to the Marco Island, and I told the dude there about what happened. He goes, the Everglades, man. Those Everglades, people say that there's submergible things coming out of them. That there's like water UFOs that they come out of the water. And what? I mean, I've never, yeah. So, I mean, and the more I researched it, I researched in South America, Honduras, all these South American, Central American countries, all of their UFOs come from the rivers and come from the water, underwater. I mean, there's a whole thing about the Bermuda Triangle, thinking that it's all a base under there or something, you know? It was just weird, man. That was Marco Island. And that place is creepy. That place is creepy because Marco Island, for those of you who know Marco Island, and no offense to Marco Island, but everybody who lives there is a bunch of viejitos, right? They're like,
totally.
They're on the verge of, that's it. In fact, it's so many old people there that there's rules of Marco Island that you can't make noise after a certain time or go out and party, right? But we saw and we felt some weird presences in that club down there.
Ooh.
Something was up in that club. Because whenever we would go on stage, we felt like something was pulling us. behind us when we're on stage. We feel like we're losing our like our balance while we're on stage. It was weird, that club. Or maybe it was all the oysters we had. We don't know.
Yeah, I hated that club so much. Went there once, would never go there again. That's the one that had the green room was the bathroom.
And it smelled like fish because that's all they served there.
I can't even. Oh, it was awful. It was so
awful. No, it was really an island. It was an actual island.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody there had a boat. So I don't know. It just seemed very. I don't know. It was a weird place. I loved it because I went fishing, but.
Yeah, the one thing I did love when I was in Marco Island is we did the what is not hang glide? Like you're in kind of like a what's the thing where you're in the water, but it's like a kite and they're like taking you
parasailing.
I did parasailing in Marco Island. That's the only good thing that happened there. But oh, it's an awful experience there.
And they're like, beware of the cougars. And we're like, I mean, I'm thinking like older ladies. No, they have real cougars. They have the Florida cougar. Like he's in the water. Like they have a bunch. Yeah, because that's their preserve. So they're
Florida's roaming. Florida's awesome stuff. Florida's on their own stuff. Like
yeah. I'm not looking for viejas. Like, okay, where are these cougars at? It was a real lion. I was like, oh, my bad.
Oh, no.
No, bro, but
this has been amazing. Okay. First of all, I just want to say how awesome you are and all your stories and just the knowledge that you have and the way you explain everything. This has been the first episode where I didn't even take other callers. I just kept you on the whole time. So
everybody,
thank you so much. You bumped everybody off the lineup is what you did. So congratulations.
Finally, took all this time.
No, this is so good. And I would love to have you on again if you are willing to just, I have like, same thing when I was on your podcast and I was like, I have so many more questions to ask you, so many more stories. And then I'm even reading comments like people have so many questions as well. I would love to have you on again if you're up for it. And just tell me.
I want to go with you and AJ together would be crazy. Yes. I mean, you know, and then I have a lot of celebrity stories that I'm not supposed to tell, but I could change their names.
Oh, what are those?
Yeah, change their names.
I'll do one real quick.
Schmangelina Schmoly.
So there's one celebrity that I know. He's a good friend of mine.
Let's end on a good one. Tell us.
He's a good friend of mine. He said that one night he was having a good time at a bar, and he was walking into the parking lot, and he blacked out. And when he woke up, he was in a paramedic in the paramedics. In the actual, you know, the gurney. And they were unloading him into the highway. And they unhooked him and they let him go. So.
What?
Yeah. Like, he was in the paramedic, in the ambulance.
Okay.
And then they let him go. And he said, he's like, it was weird. I blacked out at a party or at a parking lot. The next thing you know, I'm in a paramedic. I'm in an ambulance and they're letting me go in the highway. So his theory is, this is a whole Travis, forgot the guy's name. There's a guy by the name of Travis. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm blanking. The guy from the
Fire. Travis Scott?
No, not Travis Scott. The guy from Fire in the Sky. The guy who was abducted years ago in Arizona, one of the lumber guys. And he was back to Earth, you know, but he said that he felt that he was the wrong guy. So, I feel like this is the same thing that happened to my friend. He feels that he was abducted, but he wasn't supposed to be. And they just dropped him off in the highway. He's like, those weren't real paramedics. That wasn't a real ambulance, because why would an ambulance just drop me off in the highway and not drop me off at a hospital? So that was, and he, to this day, he says he swears he was abducted by aliens. Like, how can a paramedic just drop?
What happened? He's on the freeway and then he just walks home? Like he wakes up on the freeway?
He wakes up in the ambulance and the paramedics are dropping him off in the freeway.
And then what happened? Who rescues him? How does he get
home? He calls somebody to get him home. Yeah, he just calls somebody, like he tries to find, he goes and finds the phone. But he says, I think I was taken, and they made a mistake, and they figured out a way, the men in black, or maybe them, because, you know, they say they're amongst us, and they know how to make themselves look like, you know, it was an inside job. So he feels that they were just dressed as paramedics and let him go. Bro!
You know what this is reminding me of? Okay.
Travis Walton?
Yeah, Travis
Walton. Yes, Travis Walton. Great story, by the way. Fire in the Sky.
I'm going to look that up.
He reappeared after a five-day surge.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is what this is reminding me of. I had Joe Coy on my first episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has one of the craziest haunted stories ever. I'll send you I put it up on YouTube because when I went to post it on Instagram, it glitched and it disappeared. So I had somebody screen record it, and then I added that to my YouTube. So I'll send you the link to it so you can watch the whole story if you want.
It did not glitch.
It disappeared. It went away. I was typing in my caption to it, and it just disappeared. And I'm like,
happens all the time.
Okay. So he tells his story. It's the most insane story. It was full on demonic. It was demonic. Like how you were saying, like you could tell the difference between demonic, ghost, spirit, whatever, that it changes your emotions and it causes drama in your family.
Yeah.
They were fighting with each other. They were saying things that they would never say. They were like, it was ugly. And he was like, it was demonic. It was full on demon. Anyways, his whole story is crazy. At the end, though, one of his nephews starts full on manifesting like foam out of his mouth, the whole deal, right? Yes. They call the ambulance. Ambulance still not coming. Still not coming. They call 911 again. They're like, where is this ambulance? He's not here. We need to get my nephew to a hospital. And they're like, the ambulance says they're there at your house, at the house. And he's like, no one is here. We're standing in the front yard. No one is here. He goes, next thing you know, this ambulance pulls up. Real nonchalant, slow, like, they've taken their time getting out of the car, out of the ambulance. They get not even a gurney. They just come in to the house and they're asking him, okay, you all right, whatever. And they start walking him out to the ambulance. And he's like, you're not going to put him like on a gurney and like whatever, right? And he's like, what is happening? The kid gets in the ambulance and at the last minute, Joe goes, uh-uh, get out. You're not going with them. Because he was like, something was wrong with these
paramedics.
Like, they weren't paramedics. They were something like, they were creepy, ghost, demonic, something else. He's like, these were not even real paramedics. I was like, they are acting so weird. They're acting so nonchalant, whatever. Get out of the ambulance. You're not going with them. Nope, we taking you ourselves. And he got out of the ambulance. They didn't, and they drove him themselves to the hospital. It's a crazy story.
That's happened. That's happened to a lot of people. Or they call on somebody or they call a loved one and it's not the person. I had a friend, same situation. He had a bad day at work. He saw something going on. His wife calls him and leaves him the most horrible message in the world.
Ooh.
Horrible. And he's like, what's, and he goes, how much wrong with you? Why are you saying these things to me? You're so mean. She's like, what are you talking about? And he plays the message. It's nothing that she was saying. It was, hey, babe, how are you? I want to see what you're doing. Flipped. And he said that week he moved out of that house because this is freaky. I get freaked out on the story. He was watching that show, Band of Brothers, with his wife.
Uh-huh.
They were in the couch. And he says that there's this TV, and on the side of his TV is the hallway. He said that while he was watching the TV, he saw this thing, this humanoid entity with a demon-looking face kind of creep out like this and smile at him.
Uh-uh.
All gray and pale and then smile and go back in. He yelled, ran out of the house. And he says, I left my wife there. I didn't give a crap. I just walked out. He's like, I didn't even tell her anything. He's like, what happened to her? She's like, we're divorced now.
Uh-huh.
He said, but he said that it broke him up. That something was in that house. To this day, I mean, he talked about it in our podcast, man. He when he talked about it, it freaked him out talking about it. I mean, it freaked me out when I heard it. But when you see him tell the story, you see him see what he saw again in his eyes. Yeah, man. Don't mess with that stuff. Demonology, don't research it. You know, don't think about it. I mean, you know, there's many ways to cast a demon away, but you know what? Let a professional do that stuff. Right. Let someone who has God in their heart. You can't battle the devil if you don't have God in your heart. You really can't. You can't battle anything evil if you're not confident in what you believe in. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go after things. And that's in your careers. There's somebody out there right now listening, going through something really, really horrible. And I want to give you one message. Walk away. Walk away from it. Don't go towards it. You know what happens when you go towards it. Walk away from it, and you're going to feel so light tomorrow. You're going to feel like a feather tomorrow, but walk away from it. And I'm sure there's somebody listening to that right now, like, this dude's right. I'm keep on going towards it, and all it does, it rots me from the inside. Walk away from it. Now, take it for what it is. But where was out there, where was going through this stuff, remember, we all have been there. Some of us have that coming up maybe next month. But we've all been in a situation where we feel that we're walking into something and we know it's not good for us, but we still continue to go. That is also paranormal. That is also something evil. And find God or find something that will lead you away from it. Go towards light. Don't go towards darkness. You know? Mm. And if you like this kind of stuff, doesn't mean you're like a devil or something. People tell me, don't be playing with this kind of stuff. It's bad. It's the devil.
Right.
No, I'm not playing with the devil. He's no match. He's no match. If you have God on your heart, you got God on your side, the devil's no match what you're doing. We're not here to find a demon or a Ouija board. We're here to discover the unknown and to be students of what we don't understand. Because energy is energy, and I think we should give ourselves more positive energy out there. So yes. Stop hating people. Stop. If you have haters, you know, pray for them. You know, feel bad for them. You know, if you have people that you hate on, lose that hate, man. Lose all the negativity because it's just rotting you.
Yeah.
You know, focus. Talk about aliens. Focus on them for a while. You know, right? Be a comedian. You know, we have a lot of pain behind our comedy, but it's our therapy.
Yeah.
You know, we have to throw our energy somewhere, and that's why we vibe good with people. But we also know that we know how to separate reality from just hate. And I think I can also speak for Angela. People will always attack you when you're doing great, and they'll always attack you when you don't look like you're being fazed by them, even in your darkest moments. Trust me, we get fazed by you, but we don't want to show you that it affects us because really, deep in our heart, it doesn't affect us. We got bills to pay, you know.
Right.
Make it by talking to ghosts, then, hey, man.
Right.
We'll make it happen. But you know, thank you so much for having me on here. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's people who have so many questions right now.
I know.
And all I can tell you is, hit me up on Instagram, you know, or send them to Angela, and then we'll talk about them. We're doing shows right now. We're kind of quarantined, so we have time to do these shows, and maybe we'll do like a big Zoom one day, and we'll have guests, and we'll have different people coming on and talk about their experiences, and the money will go to charity, you know.
Yes, I love that so much, bro. Thank you so much. So tell everybody where they can find you and your podcast and everything, and then we'll have you on again for sure.
Cool. Momo Rodriguez, M-O-M-O Rodriguez on IG. And the podcast is just every platform. We're on every single platform. Spotify, Apple, you know, iTunes, everything on Paragordo Activity. So it's like paranormal, but it's Paragordo, as in a pair of gordos, because it's me and Don Hefty. Once you see me and Hefty together, you're like, oh. Okay, but it's fun. We have a lot of great guests. We have a lot of funny guests. We had Angela on there. We have a bunch of comedians. We have a bunch of mediums. And there's one show that was done live, was with our medium friend, AJ Barrera, at the Improv, where he read the crowd as we were doing stand-up. And he made...
No!
Yeah. And he made... It was weird trying to go from a murder-suicide to comedy, because the first thing he goes, is there a murder-suicide in the front row?
Oh, my God.
And some girl's like, yeah. And he goes, don't tell me anything. And he told her everything. Oh, my God. And then Hefty goes, don't read me. And he goes to Hefty, well, Hefty, your uncle's coming through. And I think what freaked out Hefty was when he told him about, why do I see this? Why do I hear Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way? And when I think about your uncle, he's like, well, when my uncle died, he couldn't talk anymore. And he wrote on a board, I Did It My Way. And that just destroyed Hefty. I mean, this dude, check him out, AJ Barrett, man. He's my boy. We've been friends for years. We've been friends, you know, back to when we used to drink Cholo beer, Bud Lights. you know what? He's so gangster. He looks like he's Chicano, man. He booked me one time on a Cholo party. You know,
he wears a button up now, but he wasn't always like that.
It wasn't. Yeah. Now he's, you know, now he talks to. He went from talking to Casper from down the street to real Caspers. It's his thing. But no, thank you so much, and let's do it again. And everybody out there, man, I hope I gave you some kind of a positive look on what we're doing. It's not nothing unholy. We're just talking about it, you know. It's like we're just chismeando about, you know, the paranormal.
Last thing before you leave, how should we, everybody who's watching tonight, should we just like say a prayer and say like, no, should we sage ourselves? Like, no, can I disconnect everything or whatever? What's your advice?
What I always do is I always say a prayer. I close my eyes and I visualize this white light around my whole body. And I visualize that being the presence of God, the presence of purity, the presence of light. And I picture me just deflecting everything negative around me, and it makes me feel more comfortable. When I do an investigation, though, I gotta bring up some sage, and I sage myself and things around me, and I try not to take it home. But right now, if you feel freaking, you feel we're talking about ghosts, and right now you keep on looking at the back of the room, you're like, I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight. Let me tell you something. Surround yourself with the white light. You're fine. You're not going to go through anything crazy. If you don't want to have sleep paralysis or astral projection, say to yourself, I don't want to go nowhere tonight before you go to bed. And I guarantee you will not have it. Pray to God. Say, God, can you keep me home today? And you will not go anywhere. That's what I can tell you.
Yes.
That's exactly what I can tell you.
People in here said, pray for us, Angela. Pray for us. Group prayer. Okay, so I'll bless us before we go. God, thank you so much for such a fun conversation with Momo and everybody who's watching, listening, participating. We're so grateful that we get to discuss and explore and learn, and it's so exciting, and you are so mysterious, and we're so grateful that we get to learn about your mysteries and the things that you have for us, the blessings that you have for us. So I just bless every single person who is watching this, whether they're watching live or watching the replay of it. God, I just bless them right now. I bless their sleep. I bless their family. I bless their home. I bless Momo right now, God, that you would just bless everything he puts his hands to with success. I pray that you would bless his finances, bless his creativity, bless his intuition, bless his relationships, and bless him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I thank you so much, and bless this night. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Momo. This has been such a great episode. It's so fun. I can't wait to have you on again.
We'll do it again. We'll do it again for sure.
For sure. Bye. Bye, everybody.
The Lakers.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Wasn't this so great that we did like an hour 45 right now?
Yeah.
That was so great. I loved everything.
Hour 15.
But yeah. Best episode yet, Alyssa says. Thank you. Yeah, this was great. This was so fun. And to everybody who was supposed to come on tonight, we had a couple guests lined up. I'm so sorry I didn't get to you. I really just felt like this was the conversation that needed to be had. And he had so much information for all of us. And it was so great. But I will have you on again. If you were on the lineup for tonight, I will definitely have you on again. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I am going to post this onto my feed. So share it with your friends. Tell everybody about it. And this is every other Friday. We do Ghost Stories with Angela. So let all your friends know, and we'll see how this grows. Thank you guys so much, and have a good night. Bye.